Chinese star, whatever you call them. Either way, these are both the same thing. And in either way, fill out one of them. Come to Lone Tree. It's going to be an awesome time. I really encourage you guys to do it, quick as well. I'm going to tell you something. We're about to send out mail to 1,000 people. Yes, 1,000 people. We're about to ask 1,000 people to come to Lone Tree. So out of that 1,000, we can probably take about 145. So I encourage you to, if you're interested in coming to Lone Tree, which you, I mean, who isn't? Then you should come and sign up really quickly. So open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, you guys. Got a message for you this day. Tristan, you got your skateboard? I'm going to need you in a little bit, all right? I'm going to need you to do a little demonstration for us here in a second. Are we cool with all this, Ryan? All this crazy noise coming up? Is all this stuff off? Like, is it this stuff? Does this stuff need to go bye-bye? Will that help? Probably. Okay, cool. Let's pray, guys. Get to Matthew chapter 7. Father, thank you so much, Lord. And I thank you for each one of these students. I can honestly say, God, I was excited to see everybody here, Lord. I'm excited to teach this message, Father. I'm excited just to be here and to be able to teach your word, Father, to these people that I care about so much. And so I just pray that you would bless this night, God. You would just let us focus in on with this last couple of minutes, Father, on what it is you have for us for the rest of the week, Lord. We love you, praise you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, who's ever heard of Sir Isaac Newton? All right, good. That's good. Well, if you haven't, I got a picture of him. Whoa. I got a question. Would you guys still love me if I had that kind of hair? If I just came in here, all my hair all curled up, all nice. Well, if you don't know, he's an English physicist, mathematician, astronomer, philosopher, and theologian in the late 1600s and the early 1700s. And I'm sure they don't tell you this at school, but he actually wrote a lot more on theology than he ever wrote on science. And although his views were a little bit whack, they were not 100% biblical by any means, he saw plenty of great evidence for a creator in the world. And however, the thing that Newton was known for, not the fig Newton, right? It was not the fig Newton that he was known for, but he was known for this, Newton's laws of motion. And the third law of motion states this: whenever a first body exerts a force on a second body, the second body exerts a force on the first body of equal or lesser magnitude in the opposite direction. Or to sum it up, you could say this. To make it simple, you can say, for every action, there is a reaction. Okay, I'm going to show you how to do this real fast. All right, stand on your board right there, Tristan, okay? Now I'm going to hurl this at you and prove Newton's third law, okay? So just stand there, stand still, don't move. You ready to catch this thing? You ready? I'm going to throw it hard. I'm not even joking, all right? You ready? There you go. We have just demonstrated Newton's third law right there. You're like, wait, what happened? Well, if you didn't notice, he rolled backwards. He was in a normal position, just standing, and as soon as he absorbed the force, he exerted another force, which made the skateboard go backwards. And that's actually called Newton's third law of motion. Now, maybe you're thinking, dude, isn't it May? Isn't school over? Like, I'm so over learning about this stuff. Do I have to learn about Newton at school, too? Well, don't worry. We're not going to do a science fair. But there is something I want you to learn from that illustration. That as true as it is in science, that every action creates a reaction, it's also true in your Christian life. That every action you take in your Christian life will have a reaction. And we want to look at the right actions we should be doing so that we can have the best reactions. And yes, if your actions are wrong, then your reactions will be bad too. If you think about it, our lives are filled with actions. That's all we do. It's action and reaction. If someone bought you a gift, that's an action. Your reaction may be to be very happy, right? To thank them. If someone punches you, yeah, it's an action. The reaction may be pain or sadness. So we're going to look at four very quick points today. We're going to see what our actions should be. We're going to see what man's reaction is, what God's reaction is, and then we're going to see what our reaction should be to God's truth. So let's read our entire text. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and whoever seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do to them also. For this is the law and the prophets. Our first point of the night is called our actions. Think how boring life would be without any action, without any verbs. We'd never run or sing or eat or drink or laugh. Our entire life is made up of actions. I mean, just today, you've obviously woken up, you've ate, you've walked, you've talked, you've sat, you've read, you've sang. And I'm sure much, much more. Well, there's three actions that Jesus is going to call us to do tonight. And let's first read verse 7 one more time. He says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. The three words are ask, seek, and knock. Now, maybe you're asking, well, what am I to seek? Ask and knock. Who is this? What does this pertain to? Well, it pertains to your relationship with God. Now, in the original Greek, what the New Testament was written in is it's more than just what it seems here, the command. Ask, seek, talk. It's more than that. It's actually what's called the present imperative, meaning this, that Jesus just isn't saying ask, seek, knock. It means you should continuously ask, continuously seek, continuously knock. So you can see that it has to do with your pursuit of God. You know, many times as Christians, we don't live this way. We get saved, we're on fire, life is amazing for God, we love serving him, and then we get comfortable, and we get lazy, and then we stop praying, we stop seeking God in his word, we stop looking to him for wisdom and discernment in a situation. It's what's called backsliding. It's even in the Bible. Basically, you go from the state of love and in love with God, and little by little, you begin to sink back and go back and backslide into your old sinful habits. I don't doubt that we have some backsliders in here today. And let me tell you, it's a dangerous place to be. But the thing about it is that the quickest way to backslide, the quickest way to lose your fire, is to do the opposite of what Jesus is asking us here today. Because when you stop asking God, when you stop seeking God, and when you stop knocking on his door, you have completely abandoned your faith. And God has nothing to do in your life anymore. And he might have to actually use a certain situation that you don't want to get your attention. So backsliding means to not do those three actions we saw. Now doing these three actions will bring... not doing these three actions will bring spiritual decay. You guys, I'm like the weird guy. I like going to the dentist. Anybody like going to the dentist? Thank you. God, look at this. We should talk later because we're friends. All right? But here's the deal. I'm like the only dude in the world who actually enjoys going to the dentist. I don't know why. It's just like you go out, you feel all good and clean. Like you want to smile a lot after. You feel like it's just all nice and clean in there. You know, they got some stuff off and stuff like that. Now, here's the deal. Not doing these things is like not going to the dentist, right? Not seeking God, asking God, and knocking on God's door. It's like not going to the dentist. So eventually, even no matter how good of a brusher you are, you're going to have some buildup, right? It's just the way it is. That's just the way it works. And so it's good to go in to the dentist to get those things cleaned off. Because if not, you'll have decay. And the same thing is for us. If we're not asking, seeking, and knocking, it will bring spiritual decay, so to speak. Right? But as you do these things, when you ask God, you seek God, and you knock on God's door, it's like going to the dentist. It's like when you do these things, God cleans off some of that bad stuff that you've had going on in your life. So if we're to continuously do these three things, we must, to keep our fire stoked and to keep our spirituality hot for God, then that means we must first find out what these three things mean. The first one we talked about was to ask. And in the Greek, it's the word aheteo. It means to request, to desire, or even to beg. It has to do with our relationship with God, that we are to request of him, we're to desire from him. It's okay, guys, just look up here, don't worry. There's some people coming in, they're going to sit down, don't worry about it. They're just people, they're just sitting down. So this has to do with our relationship with God, okay? We are to request of him, we're to desire of him, and it even says we can even beg of him. That's what this word means. Now, when is it that we speak to God? Right? When we speak to God is in prayer, right? So Jesus must be speaking about prayer here. Our communication and prayer life with God should be continuous, right? That's what the word meant, a continuous asking. We're to make our requests known to God. I always say this, but if you're in a situation in your life that's really hard and you're going through something that's really tough, you know what the best thing you can do is? Not to run away from your problem or to seek revenge for your problem, but the best thing that you can do is pray about it. The Bible says that the prayer of a righteous person makes great results. Meaning you want great results from the thing you're going through? Pray about it. That's the best thing that you can do. Now, we've studied all about prayer, so we're not going to talk about it. If you have a computer, which I'm sure you do, you can go to iTunes and find all of our old teachings. But I want to challenge you to pray more and more. You guys want to see the power of God in your life? Maybe some of you are like, dude, I never see God do anything in my life. Well, have you prayed about it? You want to see the power of God? Then start exercising the power of prayer. Not using prayer would be like if you were lost in the woods and you had a cell phone. And you're like, I'm not going to use it. I'll find my way out eventually, right? And you just keep walking deeper and deeper into the woods. And you're like, it's kind of dark now. And there's weird animal sounds and things going on. It's like, dude, you have a cell phone. Just use it. It's the same thing with prayer. We're to continuously ask God. So he says, hey, just use prayer. Don't try to go through it on your own. Notice what that word meant, though. The word ask. It meant to request or ask God in prayer. It didn't say tell him what to do. Tell him what you want. It says make a request. Right? You guys know how that is. Make a request and say, if you'll grant it. The second word after ask is this word seek. In the Greek, it's deseteo, meaning to seek something in order to find. Another definition I really liked of the word was to crave. You guys know what that's like. So along with praying and asking, the second thing that we're called to do, the second action we're called to do in our lives is to seek. And that word means to crave. And we can all understand that. It's like on a Sunday when you're like me and my wife do this all the time. We like get in the car, head down to Chick-fil-A, get there only to realize that it's Sunday. Like, come on. Why is it that you crave Chick-fil-A the most on a Sunday, right? It's like it has to be that day. Like the other 6 days of the week, I'm like, yeah, I guess we could go to Chick-fil-A. But on Sunday, I'm like, must have it, right? And I just like crave it and crave it. But Jesus says, just the way you crave those things, you should be craving God every day. We should be seeking him every day. God says, when you find me, it'll be because you've searched with your whole heart. If you've ever talked to somebody and they're like, well, I just haven't found God yet. Well, first off, God's not lost, right? And second off, ask him that question. Well, have you looked for God with your entire heart? Because that's what it takes to have an encounter with God. It takes you with your entire heart looking for him. Let me ask you a question. Do you seek God every day? Do you crave the word of God? Like crave, like I need it. Do you desire to wake up and get to know him more? Because we as Christians should. We should be known for this. I mean, we crave so many other things of the world. We all know what it's like to desire something else. But here's the thing. All those things won't satisfy you guys. God is eternal. God is forever. And we should desire him. Because unlike food or something else you might desire, like popularity or a possession, those things only bring joy for but a moment. But God will satisfy you forever. But how are we to seek God? Well, one of the ways we just talked about was in prayer. Another is to seek him in his word. Listen, you guys, anything that you ever need to know about life is inside these 66 books. There's an answer to everything you're going through in your life right now. I mean, anything you're going through in your life. And so to seek God, we must seek him where he can be found, which is in his word, where he is spoken. God said everything he's ever needed to say in here, right? He doesn't need to give you anything else. This was plenty for everybody who will ever live. But we need to seek him more than just, oh, I read a verse today. Time over. right? You know, like game over, time to do something else. You should meditate on God's word. I'm not saying you got to bust out like six chapters a day. By no means do you have to do that. But it should be quality time, and it should leave you thinking the rest of the day about it, right? So we need to get in and seek God in his word, because that's where we can hear from him. So after asking, after seeking, the third word is to knock, or kruo in Greek, kruo. Now, if you're going to interview me for like a school report, and this has happened before, I've had a couple people interview me for like something that's going on. Now, you wouldn't just go door to door just to anybody's house, right? Like, hello, is AJ here? Who? No. Hello, is AJ? I mean, how many years would it take you to finally track me down in Albuquerque, right? It would take forever. You wouldn't do that. You would go where you know that I am. You'd knock on maybe my office door right over here. Maybe you'd come into the Plex and look for me, or maybe you'd ask where I live and you'd come to my house. But this is what we are to do for God. We're supposed to knock and go find him. You see, when we desire wisdom or we desire instruction about something in our lives, we should go directly to the source, himself, God. You see, God is the door that we should be knocking upon when we need something. Maybe you've ever had a neighbor come over and knock on your door and ask to borrow a cup of flour or a couple eggs or something like that. They come to you, to a specific person, because they need something from you. And so we must too go to that specific person who can supply things in our lives, and that is God. He has what we need. So all of these actions, right, we take should be a sign of that we're a true believer in our life, right? For all you guys who missed out, we first started this sermon off talking about Sir Isaac Newton, all right? And he came up with this theory that said every action has a reaction. And that's what we're talking about here. And so we just saw our actions that we're supposed to do, which is ask, seek, and knock. And now we're going to look at verse 8, which is a reaction. So the short and logical explanation here, or let me read it real fast actually for you guys. It says, for everyone who asks receives, and whoever seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. So the logical thing here is that when we continuously ask God, when we seek, and when we knock, we get what we expect to happen, that people will answer us when we ask. We will find what we are looking for, and the door will be opened to what we are looking for. But let's look a little bit closer into the reaction that our actions cause. And the next point is called man's reaction. Now, what if I told you guys right now I had Krispy Kremes and Red Bulls for all of you? Well, I don't. Clearly, I don't. I can't afford that. Are you guys crazy? But it sure caused a reaction in you, didn't it? That caused a good reaction in you. You're all like, you're just all like part of your guys' eyes, just like, I just got to see all of you like deer in the headlights look like Krispy Kreme. Let's read verse 9 and 10 and see another reaction. Or what? What did it say? Yum? Good. Hey, you know what? If Khan thinks it's yum, Khan can buy. How about that? Verse 9, chapter 7, Matthew. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a serpent? Jesus shows that it's natural to think that you're going to get what you desire or what you're seeking after. He asked the question, which seems kind of obscure, actually. Let's look at the two things that he asked. The first thing he says this. He says, which of you, if you had a son and he asked for bread, would you not give him the bread but give him a stone? That seems crazy, right? It just seems absurd. I mean, imagine if you came over to me and you're like dying of hunger. You're like, bread, right? And all of a sudden I go through all of this work to like machine a rock that looks like a loaf of bread. And I'm like, are you hungry, my friend? You know what I mean? And I bring over this big old thing of bread, but in fact, it's a stone, right? And you're like, oh, my tooth or something, you know? It's like, it really hurts. That would be messed up. Who would be such a jerk to do that? The other question Jesus asks is this. If someone asked for a fish, would you give them a snake or a serpent? Could you imagine? Here's what one commentator said. Listen to this. He says, when snake meat is cooked, it looks exactly like white fish meat. But here's the deal. The snake to the Jew was unclean. It was unable to be eaten. But could you imagine, right? If you like, I mean, put it in like our terms today. Like, hey, you want to come over for a barbecue? I'd love to. And then I, you want a burger? Love burgers. And I make you a burger, and once you're done with it, I'm like, don't you just love possum burgers? That was possum? You know what I mean? And you're just disgusted. That would be the same thing in today's terms, right? But here's the deal. How evil must somebody be to do that? To trick somebody like that? Listen up. Jesus is saying, why would somebody knowingly trick another person into thinking they're giving them what they indeed asked for, but instead they asked for bread and you gave them a rock, and they asked for fish and you gave them a snake? I doubt any of us would have to deal with this in our lives, right? We've never had to deal with this. Most of the time, our reaction is that we get what we want. We all have the stuff we need. I see you all. I'm sure you've eaten today. I'm sure you all have clothes on, and you all have a house, I'm sure, right? Those are the things that we are in need of every day, especially us in America. We get all these things all the time. And it's nice to give to people. But here's the deal. There are very few of people that if they came up to you and asked for something, that you wouldn't give them what it is that they need, right? If somebody asked you a question, you usually give them an answer. I think the majority of the people would do that. And if you were looking for something, most of the people would point you in the right direction or give you what you seek after. And most of the time, if you knocked on somebody's door, they'd open it for you, right? I don't think that they'd necessarily be evil and trick you. It does happen at times. I heard of a story, a sad story, when 9/11 happened, that there were actually people who were tricking people into thinking they were going to give the money to families who lost somebody in the 9/11 tragedy, and they would just take the money and spend it, which is very sad. And those are few and far in between, because there is good stories, though. I mean, think about this. 8 days after Haiti, we raised $305 million as a country. But here's where I'm going with all this, is that Jesus is making here. He says, listen, if you guys do good things for your friends and your family and for normal people, how much more will God help you out? How much more will God do? Let's look at our third point called God's reaction. Now, last week, for those of you who weren't here or those of you who were, we talked about judgment. And we saw how it's wrong to judge somebody that you don't even know. And we saw how many times not only do we judge people falsely, but we judge God falsely. You know what I don't like? I don't like when people judge God when they haven't even read his autobiography, right? They haven't even read anything about him. And they just decide, oh, I know all about God, right? That's a judgment. I used to be that guy. I won't even lie. I used to think I knew a lot about God. But let's look at God's true reaction in verse 11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give you good things to those who ask him? Here's the deal, okay? Here's the misconception that is always made. We like to think that God is like the person that Jesus described above here, right? We like, the misconception is that God never hears us. God never shows himself to us. God never opens the door. And that's a shame. It's a shame that many times we think that people are better than God, or that people are more generous than God. Many people, maybe you here today, think, well, why ask God? What is he going to do about anything? Well, I wonder how many of you in here have given it a try. I wonder how many of you guys in here have talked to all your friends about the thing that's going on in your life. I wonder how many of you in here have talked to all your family about that thing that's going on in your life. And you've talked to everybody in the world, but you've yet to bring up that problem to God. Right? Because you think that if you ask for bread, so to speak, he's going to give you a stone. Basically, that whatever you're asking for, God's like, I'm not going to give you that. But that isn't the truth. And that's precisely what Jesus is showing us here. He says, listen, if you, being evil, and by the way, yes, we are evil, right? The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says that our hearts, above everything that they are desperately wicked. The Bible says that man's thoughts are continuously evil. And Jesus says, listen, if you're evil and somebody asks you for something, and the majority of the time you give them what it is that they're asking for, why do you think that God wouldn't do that for you? I mean, if one of my friends needed something and asked for something, I would do all that I can to try to help them out. And I'm evil, right? God's perfect, holy, and loves my friends more than I could ever love them. So why do we assume that God doesn't want to do good for them or good for us? Because he loves them more than I could ever imagine, more than I ever could. There's two points I want to make here about God's reaction. And the reaction here is to our asking, seeking, and knocking, right? Our pursuit of God. The first is this. God loves more people and loves them way more than we ever could. But just because he does that doesn't mean he will give you everything you want, right? God will give you what is best for you. God has our best interest in mind, right? God will never give you something that can be dangerous or an idol in your life. Maybe you're thinking, I've been praying for something for a long time now, and I haven't seen anything. No word from God. I haven't seen anything show up on my doorstep. I haven't seen any help in this situation. Well, let me tell you this. It isn't because God doesn't hear. It's because God may not want you to have that thing right now or maybe ever. Jesus said earlier, listen to this. He says, right, if a guy asks for a fish, would you give him a serpent? Now, here's the deal. A serpent is very dangerous and could kill you, right? Imagine if I gave you, here's some fish, buddy. Wink, wink, right? And you open it up. Oh, there's a snake in there. That's a very dangerous thing. If you reached in there, that thing could bite you and kill you. But here's the correlation here. Here's what Jesus is saying. He says, the same is true of God. You may be asking for a seemingly good thing, but God will never give you something that might be dangerous in your life. Why would God ever give you a serpent, so to speak? Meaning, maybe you could put it like this. You know, there's a lot of people who think like, oh my gosh, I'm in mid school. I need like a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Okay, that has the potential to be a serpent in your life. That has the potential to be very dangerous in your life because you could be immoral with this person. You could put this person above God. And to put anything above God is dangerous. It's a serpent. Or maybe you've asked for a certain object in your life and you haven't gotten it because maybe God knows, and God does know, maybe you're going to spend more time with that personal object, with an object, than you would spend with God. And so why would God ever bring that into your life? That's a serpent. That's dangerous. Our highest good is to live by the will of God. And it says that God is going to do good things, right? It says God's going to do good things. He didn't say what you want. He says he's going to do what he sees is good because God is good. And so if the best thing we can do is to live more like God, to live more like Jesus, and to be changed from our evil ways into his righteous ways, then the more that we become like that, then the more things we'll ask God that are godly, and the more things he will grant you because they are the right things. That's the first thing. God will not necessarily grant everything to you because it may be a serpent or dangerous. The second thing is we need to stop thinking of God as like this downer. I don't like this, right? We always think like God's like the downer at the party or something, right? That, everybody, here comes Jesus. Like, you know, party's over. No more fun. Everybody, like, look like you're doing something holy or something. You know what I mean? Like, we think that God is no fun. You guys know how much God loves you guys? He wants to bless you. God's normal reaction, you guys, isn't wrath and anger like we sometimes think, like, oh my gosh, God's going to be so mad at me. It's not. God's normal reaction is love and grace. But like it says here at the end of verse 11, it says, only for those who continuously seek him or look for him to the answers. The example he uses here is of a father and his children. God is our father, you guys. He's our dad. Right? He loves you. He loves to do good things for his children. He loves us. And if you're saved in here tonight, you're a child of God. The Bible says this, that God didn't spare his own son. Right? So why would he withhold any good thing for you? I mean, you think about that? So many times we're like, God's not going to do that for me. Why? He gave up his most prized possession ever, his son, to a dirty, gnarly cross to die in your place. And you're saying that he did that, but he won't help you out in the midst of your problems? You're saying that he won't help you find some friends or help you in school or help you do whatever? Why wouldn't he? He gave his only son. If he was going to not give anything, it would have been that, the most precious thing to him. Now that we've seen our action, ask, seek, and knock, and man's reaction, and God's reaction, let's look at our last point, which is called the reaction to God's truth. Now, I'm sure all of you guys in here have had to do a science project at some time in your life, and you have to write a conclusion, right? You have to come to a conclusion about what it is you've studied and all the things you've done. Right here, what we're about to read, this is Jesus' conclusion on what we studied last week and what we studied this week. It should be, now it's time for our reaction to God's truth. Because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. It's all about what you do with the things that you hear, what you do with God's truth. Because if you come here and you hear me speak for 40 minutes and then you just go home and you don't do anything, well, it's as if you were never here. It's as if you were never here at all. You see, our actions and our pursuit of God always cause a reaction that God will bless us because of that, right? But his actions, his blessing, and his truth, his word of God, you could say, right, should cause a reaction in us, one that makes us want to live for him, right? Because we know we have a mighty and gracious God who hears his people and loves his people. Let's look at our reaction right here, verse 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. We just talked about this last week. Remember what therefore means? When you see therefore, you got to find out what it's there for. And it usually means that it has, what he's about to say, has to do with something that was said previously. Now Jesus is saying, because you know that you will only receive grace and mercy if you yourself are graceful and merciful to people and you don't judge them. That was last week, right? We saw that last week. And then he says this week, because your Father in heaven blesses you, loves you, hears you, right, reveals himself to you, gives you instruction. Therefore, because of those two things, you should come to this reaction, that whatever you like to be done to yourself, may you do it to others. You know this command. It's the golden rule. It's the second most important thing you can do after love God with your soul, strength, and mind. You see, Jesus' conclusion, since you don't like being wrongly judged, right, like we talked about last week, don't judge people, right? And he says, since people usually give you what you ask for and your heavenly Father always gives you the things that are good for you, that your reaction should be to do the same to other people. Here's the difference, though, in what we're looking at here tonight. The difference is this. We usually see this command in the negative form. Usually it says something like this. Whatever you don't like people to do to you, don't do it to anyone else. But this is different, right? Tonight it says, whatever you like being done, then do those things to someone else. So this should be our reaction to God's truth, to obey and to treat people with God's love and mercy. Now, this is a lot harder to do because it's not just saying refrain from doing something evil. It says start doing something good, right? And let me just throw it in there. This doesn't just mean your family and friends. Yes, it should include your family and friends, but it should include all people. Wow. So not only should we not do evil as our reaction, but we should also be active. We should also go out there and be doing good things to people. But let me ask you, what's your reaction been to God's truth tonight or last week or the last time you came to church or the last time you read your Bible? Because you should have a reaction to your God's truth every time you're in it. We've been studying Matthew for months now. The story of Jesus' life, and have you had a reaction? Are you out there loving people? Because you know what the Bible says? The Bible says faith without works is dead. Meaning, yes, we first need to ask God in prayer, right? Seek him, knock and look for him, look for his instruction. But if we never let those things affect our relationships with other people, then our faith is dead. If those things never put us into action, our faith is dead. At the end of verse 12 here, Jesus says, for this is the law and the prophets. We studied this a long time ago. The law and the prophets just means the Old Testament, right? You have the books of the law and the books of the prophets. So Jesus is saying, hey, you know all those things that it says in there? You know all those things that it says you should do in there? You could just sum it up with this one. Do things to others that you like to be done to yourself, right? Do good things to them. Meaning, you guys like when somebody compliments you, encourages you? Good, good. Then guess what? Go compliment somebody this week. Encourage somebody this week. You guys like when your parents say they love you and they're proud of you? Go tell them you love them. You're proud of them. Or go tell your friend you love them and you're proud of them. Do you like to eat a good meal? I know I do. Awesome. Go make a good meal. Give a good meal to a homeless person. You like the smell of fresh flowers? I don't know who doesn't, right? Well, go get some flowers and put them on a random person's door, right? Go give them some flowers to somebody. This week, may your reaction not only be to refrain from doing sinful things, but to also do good things. Because when you do that, you will surely have an encounter with God, and that's the appropriate reaction we should have. Man, Isaac Newton didn't know how right on he was, right? I guess he could have just read the Bible and realized that you give what you get, right? It's pretty simple. I pray that you'll remember that this week, that the things you do have an equal effect on yourself. If your actions and pursuit of God are asking him continuously, seeking after him, knocking, right? Then watch out, because God loves to bless people who do that. He loves to bless people who do that. I pray that you'll remember what a loving, gracious God we serve, okay? That if he didn't spare his own son, why would he spare anything else for you? He loves you that much. But if you're not doing very godly things in here at this moment, right? Maybe your life is kind of messed up. You've fallen away from God. You're the backslider that we talked about earlier. Well, then don't expect good reactions from God or from man. I want to encourage you this week to have a reaction to what you've heard. To get out there and start showing some love to people. It doesn't have to cost a dime, you guys. Write a note, right? Give some hugs. Pray for some people. I want to encourage anyone in here who's backsliding that you can get right back to where you once were simply by starting to do these actions, right? By asking or praying God, by seeking him, by being in his word, even when you don't feel like reading your Bible, and to look for him for instruction. Knock on his door. Don't knock on everybody else's door in the world saying, what should I do with my life? Ask him. And if you haven't made a commitment here to Jesus tonight, I pray that you would do that before you leave. Come up here before we end. Pray a prayer to accept the Lord in your life. God is ready to answer you, ready to reveal himself to you, ready to open the door to you. You know, we talked about Sir Isaac Newton. I almost said Sir Isaac Lime. You know, like the otter pop? You know, okay, come on, guys. You know what that is. Anyways, we just studied Sir Isaac Newton, and his third law was that every action has an equal or equal reaction, right? But here's something else that Isaac Newton came across. His first law of motion, and it was this. That an object at rest stays there, or an object that's not moving tends to stay there, and an object in motion stays in motion. That's really cool, because that's exactly how it is in our Christian lives. You see, there may be some of you in here who never do anything spiritual, who are pretty much, when it comes to your faith, you just sit there. You never go anywhere. You never do anything with it. And so just like Newton found out, well, you're prone to just stay that way. It's just the way it is. But the other side of it is that if you're constantly doing things for the Lord, you're constantly working for him, constantly serving him, constantly in your Bible, constantly praying, then it's as if you just keep gaining velocity. You keep gaining momentum, right? And it just keeps going and going, right? So may you continue to be that person who never stops asking, seeking, and knocking. Let's pray. Father, I pray that our pursuit of you would be our number one in our life, God. God, that the number one thing we do, Father, isn't to seek after possessions or friends or even our very own parents or family, God, that our lives would be focused on you. God, I pray for the people in here who are the Christians. Lord, may they continue to ask, seek, and knock of you and know that, God, you love to bless your children, Father. And God, for those who don't know you in here today, I pray that they would get busy, Lord. Lord, we know that the hour is near when you will return, and there will be no time then to repent. I pray that we would do that tonight, Father. May you touch some people, Lord. Thank you for these new students that have come in tonight, Lord. I'm so excited to hang with them, get to know them. And I just pray, Father, that you would grow Velocity as a whole. Thank you for the people who are on their way out, God, for their faithfulness. We love them. Father, lift them up. We just praise you for all the good things you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you guys need anything, we got leaders around. They're going to play one more song, and then they'll dismiss you. But think about these things, all right? God bless you. Oh.